So welcome, Susie. I am so excited to have you here. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Christine. Thank you so much for the kind invitation. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
I fangirled you quite a lot over Instagram, but I first heard you on Dr. Jen Huber's podcast, The Midlife Feast. I now work with Jen. I think she's incredible. But you did an episode with her, and I immediately was, I need to check Susie out. I need to get some of Susie. Because I think rest is a topic that comes up often for me, comes up for my clients, and is always tricky, Susie. It's always tricky. And I just read a post from you, which you talked about the selfless mother and all the messages, the conflicting messages we've had since childhood. A good baby doesn't cry. You know, if you're a tantruming child, you're not a good child. And, you know, the selfless mother is the martyr mother is the good mother. And I was really interested what got you into this line of work, specifically Ooh. Into rest, reset,
okay,
self-care.
The life event that sort of catapulted me into a real special interest in self-care as a means for helping people navigate stress, loss, and change was becoming a mum at the same time as witnessing my father's demise with motor neurone disease.
Mm.
So it was the thing that it actually really drew my toolkit together. So prior to that experience, I'd worked for a decade as a personal trainer, yoga mm-hmm. teacher, health coach. I moved back to Australia to start a family thinking, you know, being close to my parents, that would make life easier. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, yes. On the other hand, it couldn't have been further from the truth. But really, you know, hand on heart, qualifications aside, you know, I'm a psychologist, yoga teacher, personal trainer. All of that training aside, it was my own experience of energetic bankruptcy mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. Set me on this path to helping people renegotiate their relationship with rest, with nourishment, and a real desire to empower people with practical skills. Because I think we all not in agreement about, oh, we'd like to feel rested. We want to replenish ourselves. We want to take care of ourselves. But how the heck do we do it?
Yeah.
And even when I give people a gazillion different time efficient, energy efficient practices, they're still going, oh, I can't do it. It doesn't feel, I don't feel it's all right for me to do it.
Or I don't have time.
Yeah, there are so many barriers. It's not just the time and the energy and the funds. It's people fundamentally feeling like it's not all right for us to do it because of all those messages that we've received that you talked us through at the top.
When you talk about your dad and you're sort of having children and that those events coinciding or coming together, you know, I lost my dad when my kids were very little. And, you know, I think some of your posts, I mean, really have helped me. So because I've not given myself time to really grieve. And I think that's something, again, which we can get into through the episode. But it is, you know, I kind of just went, I ran every day. I just kept running away and running and running and running. And that's how I kind of got through that period. And I think it's only now when things are, you know, I've got that time to kind of in that space and that distance, that you really start thinking more clearly. And that's, you know, it would have been very useful to have at that time to have had, you know, I don't know, that different perspective, Susie. So I really appreciate you saying that.
Do you know, I just think be gentle with yourself, Christine. The fact is you were doing what you needed to do to be able to
get through
the demands that you were facing at the time. But you're right, you know, and to a certain extent I feel the same. You know, I was so fixated on meeting my daughter's needs and being there for my parents, and I missed out on celebrating Charlotte's, you know, arrival, her birth. Grief really took over for me, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like there was lots of time and space to feel the feelings. Mm-hmm. It was just a heaviness. It was just a, you know, it's life-changing, isn't it? when you lose someone that significant.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in some ways, having the kids was for me a great distraction, because there was a reason to keep going, because and their innocence and their, you know, they'd just gone where they wanted ice cream. You know, they were a bit sad about granddad, but can we have vanilla ice cream for dinner, please? And it was just, and that really helped me. Do you know what I mean? It was just that leveled me a little bit, just being able to sort of not sort of drown in it. I was able to sort of come out and live a bit as well, and laugh a bit when with the kids. But yes, sorry. I find that really resonated with me. The posts that you've done about grief they've really stuck with me. And I'm sure if people are listening, just go and look them up on Instagram, especially. That's where I hang out. But I wanted to talk to you, Susie, more about rest itself at this point in life, when we may have kids, we may not, we may be working full time, we may be feeling stretched, overwhelmed on a treadmill, but also feeling like we can't get off the treadmill because we, you know, the cost of living crisis, it is real and it is really tough. We need to work, we need to keep going. And we also need to be the perfect mum, have the perfect home. It has to be tidy. We have to look a certain way when we go to the school gate. It is just relentless. And a lot of it we put on ourselves, but not through any fault of our own, but through the messaging in the culture that we live in. So I'm wondering, how do we carve out time without feeling guilt, without feeling like we should be doing something else?
Mm-hmm.
How do we actually practically... Okay.
I want to answer that question, definitely, but I also want to make space for a slightly different approach. In Ooh. That, mm-hmm. I would encourage people to nourish themselves, to rest and replenish, even in the presence of guilt. Let's not wait until there's an absence of guilt, because I question whether that's really in the mix of all of this noise and this pressure and this desire. Like you say, this intrinsic desire to be who we aspire to be.
Mm.
We might be waiting a very, very long time for an absence of guilt. So I would say, please understand that the presence of guilt doesn't actually mean that we are breaking our moral code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The presence of guilt is an opportunity for us to check in and to ask ourselves, is this thing that I'm planning to do in alignment with what matters to me as a human being? And if it is in alignment, we can say, this guilt is misplaced. It doesn't belong to us. It's just something that we can let slide from our Teflon shoulders. And even if it's still there, if mm-hmm. it's still clinging to us for dear life, we can take that nourishing action anyway. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we can just dial down guilt. We can take tender, compassionate, restorative action, even when it's clinging to us. Okay. But mm-hmm. if people are like, mm-hmm. do you know what? I really want to unpick this. And I applaud you if you really do want to unpick it. Well, let's take a look at what rest facilitates in our life. You know, do we feel guilty for feeding and hydrating ourselves? I hope not. Mm-hmm. I think there's been some fantastic public health campaigns in the last couple of decades around healthy movement, around sleep. There's still room for improvement, don't get me wrong. But I think people don't tend to feel guilty about going to the gym anymore. That's kind of commonly mm-hmm, acceptable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we understand that we need to meet our sleep needs to be able to function, and yet rest, it's that, you know, there are so many mixed messages about it. Now, for people that think rest is indulgent or it's lazy or it's not productive or it's pointless, honestly, if you think about what it facilitates in your life. Now, from my perspective, it's the thing that allows me to speak with compassion to myself and to other people. It's the thing that allows me to pace myself so that I can show up in integrity. I can act and work professionally with authenticity. It keeps shouty mommy at bay, keeps shitty wife at bay. You know, it's the gift mm-hmm. that keeps on giving. It's the thing that resources me to be able to meet the demands of my day. And if we still feel uncomfortable with that word rest, call it something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Call it rejuvenation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, call it replenishment. Call it energy management. Call it mind management. Yeah.
That's whatever nice.
Phrase works for us,
mm-hmm.
really do it. And then watch those gorgeous dividends ripple out broadly beyond us.
You know, what you said at the beginning there really resonated with me in terms of the guilt and actually just still being loving towards yourself when you have these feelings of guilt and still prioritizing rest. Because I think you can then feel shame about feeling guilt. It's like a cycle, isn't it? You just, you know, we're shaming ourselves for feeling bad about not resting or feeling, it's a cycle.
It is. Break it, bring it to the light, break it, does it service, give ourselves permission to do something different. The mantra that I hold in my mind is, and this comes from that hard and fast learning of energetic bankruptcy, where I literally, honestly, I didn't know how I was going to look after myself, let alone my daughter. I learned my depletion serves no one,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and my replenishment serves everyone.
And that's something you've got to keep saying to yourself over and over again. I love that term, energetic bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
That really resonates for me. But how do you know you need to rest? So it's always, I had another guest on who is a stress ownership coach, and she said, you need to rest before you need to rest. So your body will tell you, it will say, I'm stopping, I've had enough.
Yep.
But generally that's when you've got, you're crumbling, you're ill, you're, you know, stress will just
call that the shout. Yes, that's the shout from the mind, yeah. The body mind. Yeah, the skill is in becoming attuned to the whisper.
The whisper.
Yep, listen out for the whisper. When you take action at the whisper, it requires far less intervention than if you wait for the shout to literally stop you in your tracks with what you've already said there. Burnout, conflict, illness, injury, overwhelm. Yeah?
Yeah.
The intervention that you need at that stage might be professional. It is not just going to be take care of yourself. And it might involve a lengthy wait. This is the difficult thing. If we wait until we're really in strife, I mean, honestly, I'm still waiting for a scan from November of last year. It's been nearly a year. So wow. Very difficult to get support at the moment, timely support. So please, we must become skilled at listening out to that whisper. And what that whisper will sound like is very different from one individual to the next. And it affects all layers of our being, whether that's our emotional responses, you know, being reactive or feeling sensitive or frustrated, teary, or maybe it shows up in our thinking, such as overthinking or negativity or catastrophizing, generalizing, and anxious thoughts. Maybe it shows up in our immune system. With ailments mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. you know, one after the next, or they linger, or you sort of get a cluster of things. It shows up in our digestive health,
mm-hmm.
feeling stuck, mm-hmm. feeling sluggish, you know, bloating. Shows up in our sleep. Maybe we're having difficulty sleeping, or maybe we sleep like a log but still wake feeling like, oh, I could do with another couple of hours.
Mm.
Yeah, and, of course, it shows up in our physical body as well, whether it's tension, aches, pains, injuries. And I would just encourage people, take a look. How does your mind, how does your body, how does your heart let you know that you need to replenish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not always, I must deliver the job so that I can restore. It's like, what do you actually need to do what's required of you? Let rest be some kind of, this is how we resource ourselves. Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's really hard to listen to our bodies and to tune in. That's kind of what I talk to all my clients about. It's taking that time just to sort of notice what's going on. Is this shoulder feeling a bit achy? Is it when you move this way, does your hip hurt? Does just check into the body, because we don't take time. We push, 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 and we don't take that minute just to check in with ourselves. But it is hard, Susie. It is hard to listen to your bodies.
It's been literally bred out of us,
mm-hmm.
our ability to notice. Yeah. You look mm-hmm. at what our children face in their school day. You know, sometimes they make them sit with their hands across their chest and sit cross-legged so they're not fidgeting. It's like they don't even have the freedom to move.
Ugh.
Kids can't go to the toilet when they need to go to the toilet.
Don't get me started on
that. You know, it's so rigid. And I completely understand. Mm-hmm. My heart goes out to the teachers. I think our educators are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what our children are required to do is to ignore all of these inner impulses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we become numb to these sensations, these impulses, these desires. And then as we get older, it's like there's this unhealthy obsession with resilience. Come on, get on with it.
Yeah.
It's so we're having to first dial down all of that noise to then come home to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to actually be able to know what's going on within. And we're mm-hmm. so cut off in our heads, aren't we? We're sort of, you know, modern life sort of celebrates intellectual capability. What about connection with feelings? What about
our emotions?
Our emotions, yeah. Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there's a lot of unlearning to do, but actually it can be relatively simply done. Sometimes, let's be honest, we might need to do that in partnership to develop the skills, to develop the toolkit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I still benefit by working in partnership with people. I have a body worker that I work with. There's someone else that I turn to for acupuncture. There's a physio. There's, you know, we all need, I call it my team of angels.
Yeah.
And they're giving me feedback and they're asking me, are you aware of this thing? How are you noticing? Like in the middle of a massage therapy, she'll say, what are you doing with your jaw? I don't know. Oh, hello. That's interesting. So it's like a language that we learn. And let's just give ourselves permission to be beginners. We can do it gently. Mm-hmm. But this is where I would say that my yoga practice has been so vital. And it's not like,
yes,
I'm not mm-hmm. talking about the sun salutes. I'm talking about being in a child's pose and feeling where the breath moves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm talking mm-hmm. about yoga nidra and reclaiming awareness of, that's where my little toe is. Okay. Right. I'm mm-hmm. connected with you. Yeah.
Well, I love that. I trained as a Pilates teacher and that changed my life. It was like, because I was always HIIT classes and boot camps. And then I went, slowing down. Now that's something different, isn't it? But I find I need to think about rest a bit more. When I was excited to sit in a dentist chair for 2 hours, I was quite excited because I couldn't do anything. I didn't have to speak to them. So I didn't have to hold conversation and worry about that. I literally could not. There was nothing that I could do in that time. So even if I allocate rest to myself in normal everyday life, I still think, but I'll just put a wash on. I'll just do this. I'll just do. Mm-hmm. And it would just hit me. I was like, so. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, that I'm not allowed to do anything and I just have to sit actually fills me with means I need to think about that a bit more and prioritize that and really check in with my body.
Yeah.
So it's, you get little signals, but it's just knowing. Another question that I've said is, if we struggle, like myself, to relax, especially mm-hmm. the overthinking brains,
mm-hmm.
what advice would you give us? So I know everybody's mm-hmm. entirely different and we all need different things. So it's a very hard, you can't blanket statement to put out there, but if we really struggle to rest,
mm-hmm.
what would you say, Susie?
Okay, so let's take a look first at the definition of rest.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think largely people would say rest is lying down in stillness on your own doing nothing or having some kind of brain fade. Yeah, rest in modern times is synonymous with screen time quite often, right?
Yeah.
Now, I want to challenge that. I would love for people to broaden their conceptualization of rest and think of rest as any action that brings you back to balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rest mm-hmm. is an opportunity for you to reset. And that's why it has such an individual approach. Yeah. So if you think about how you've used your mind and body, what kind of environments that you've been in your day, use rest as something that brings you back to balance, back to peace, back to harmony. So, for example, if you've been sat pecking at a keyboard all day, restorative action might be going for a walk with a friend and having a chat, because that's the thing that brings you back to balance. Or if you've been delivering lots of movement inspiration, the thing that brings you back to balance might be movement for yourself or being guided by movement by somebody else, you know, targeted for your needs, or being in stillness. Or for someone who's been on a shop floor, been on their feet all day, they might need some gentle limbers to sort of increase circulation, and then they might need to lie down with their legs up the wall. But, you know, that's just looking more at the body. You know, let's think about how we've used our minds as well. So we've mentioned educators, where they've been guiding and directing. They might want someone else to make the decision.
Making
dinner tonight, because they're so used to being in the driver's seat. They want someone else to take that responsibility. Yeah, if there's been a sense of repetitiveness or something mundane in our day, intellectually or creatively, we might like something to sort of inspire and something fresh and new. So rest, I hope, takes on a much more interesting flavor when we see it as something that helps us reset or recalibrate.
And this, you know, that's fascinating. And I think, you know, it's so individual, but I, first of all, I was going to say, what is balance? Now that's an interesting one too. But I agree that I tend to find I like to move gently. That's how I like to rest. So like a really nice yoga session or a mobility session, or maybe, you know, something similar to that. I love to just move a little bit. I also love to watch movies and bubblegum TV. I like to go for a sea swim. Very lucky to live near the sea. And things like that make me feel a bit...
They bring you peace.
They bring you... And but then I start overthinking, because I'm trying to tune into my body, and I know that I do a lot of movement in the week. And it used to be I'd go for a run. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit stressed. I'll just go for a run. And now I take a minute to go, do I need that run? Does my body need to push itself more so I can feel deserving of sitting down and resting? Or can I rest now as I am and just take some gentle movement? And that's been something that I've really worked hard on, because more often than not, I actually, my body needs to rest.
Yeah.
And that means physical rest as opposed to going for that 5 mile run.
Stillness. Yeah. I think that there are lots of interesting things there. There's this notion of having to earn rest.
Yes, exactly. You know,
can we unpick that and see that rest is how we heal? It's how we restore. Mm-hmm. It's how we resource ourselves to be able to bring any value that matters to us to life. You know, please do it proactively so that you can be who you aspire to be. Yet when you don't do it, that's when we can't step up as we wish. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a piece there around rest isn't always about getting more energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes there's excess energy that if we just say, hey, lie down, come on, be still, woohoo, you know, it's almost like a violence on the body mind, because there's a cacophony of sounds and sights and like memories and sensations. And there's some really interesting research that tells us a lot about how we feel about sitting and doing nothing. People were given the option of giving themselves a mild electrical shock instead of sitting in stillness doing nothing, and people chose to shock themselves.
Yeah, I can believe that.
We just don't want to be faced with ourselves. Okay, so for a lot of us, I think we need to become practiced in coping with becoming alive to our inner experiences, whether that's memories, sensations, feelings. Yes, this is where compassion is essential. But also, if anyone's got that nervous, jittery energy, now that can be mental, that can be physical.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need movement as a gateway to relaxation. We need to get rid of that excess energy before we can lie down and be still, or sit and be still.
And that makes absolute sense. And that's why sometimes people choose the run, or they choose to go and move so that they can then relax the body, and then they feel, right, the energy's gone, now I can
sit
at peace. And well, then
what I'd say there is that there needs to be a balance between effort and surrender. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
If we're always pushing,
mm-hmm.
we need to cultivate a receipt of energy, or a softening, or a yielding, an absence of striving. Yeah, I think there's a very different quality to a run where I'm going for, I want to get my PB here.
Yeah.
Yes, that's going to help me relax at the end of it, but it's not terribly restorative. I'm probably going to need a lie down after that.
Yeah.
But if I were to do a run at a different pace where it's not about, you know, PBs, it's about just finding the right pace that allows me to breathe at a rhythm that's comfortable, that's different.
Yes.
You know, I would say that rest, the quality of rest is there's an absence of ambition, there's an absence of striving, mm-hmm. it's not punitive, there's nothing judgmental or critical about it. It is soft, it's coaxing, it's encouraging, it's gentle, it's tender.
Now that's beautiful. And one thing, so I would apply this to, because obviously I train clients, and I'm always encouraging rest. And obviously, as we've talked about, that's very nuanced, it's different for everybody. But I find that injury happens. I do a scale of 0 to 10 effort. And I always tell clients, I don't want you to be at 10 because you've got nothing left at 10. Yeah. I want you to sort of stay maybe 8 or 9 if you're, you know, if you're doing a workout. But I also want you to prioritize gentle mobility, 5 minutes every day, and doing nothing for mm-hmm. a few days a week. As in nothing physically effortful, so just nothing too energetic or nothing too, and give your body that time to recover, because that's actually when your muscles are built.
Yes.
When they rest. And some people are so resistant to that, you know, and the fitness culture is don't take a day off, never miss a Monday, you know,
you snooze,
you lose, no pain, no gain. It is just relentless. The messaging is everywhere. And, you know, that things are changing, certainly, but it's still a very quiet voice. The change, the conversation change is here, but it's the majority, you know, any gym you go into, it's like work harder, strive harder.
Go hard or go home. Yeah.
Go hard, go home. If you
don't
think
about it, it says it all.
And it's very hard then to, and especially at a certain time of life, when maybe your body starts changing as it's biologically is predetermined to, I mean, as it should change, but you get these messages. So you think, I've got to eat less, I've got to move more, because otherwise I can't, you know, I'm not going to look the way I want to look. So you've got lots of different messages coming in, and it's very hard to then think about, actually, I'm just going to stop. So how would you navigate those in terms of movement, fitness, strength, etc., as a personal trainer of old?
Yeah, well, it's just making sure that there's variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing something that's going to build muscle, you need to be making sure that there's functional flexibility, mobility factor in as well. And absolutely, there need to be rest days where there is an absence of strenuous activity. Now, that you can still go for a gentle walk in nature, go for a swim, you know, have a stretch, roll out your yoga mat. And I would say I need to move every day for my mental health.
Yeah.
The shape that movement takes is vastly
very different.
And I need to make sure that I'm not doing too much strenuous stuff that depletes me. It might feel good in the moment, but we just need to keep an eye on that striving aspect.
And I think it's, you know, it's tricky, because some days you feel like, actually, I want to push it today.
Mm.
That's how you feel. And then some days you're not feeling great, but you do quite a hard workout and you feel better. But some days it depletes you entirely. So it's, I find it with clients, I always say on any given day, you can feel differently. You can have less or more energy,
you know,
depending on your cycle, depending on, and it's okay to show up to my class and half-ass it. So
yes.
I welcome a half-assing workout because you're not going to feel on top of it every single day. And to push your body when it's feeling that a bit depleted is not going to benefit you in any way.
No.
But it's just, you know, and I see it on so many faces that they're like, but I've got to go harder because I'm here and I've got to push it. And it's very hard for them not to.
It is. It is. I think we've just got to remember that there's choice, there are options.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep, you know, for people who are leading and inspiring others with movement, keep offering options.
Options, yeah.
It doesn't have to look like this. This is just as juicy. And I would also flag that, let's bear in mind, well, how did you sleep last night? What kind of stress levels are we facing in our day? In those times of squeeze, let's not deplete ourselves with our exercise, because there's enough tugging at us in everyday life. We need our movement to be more nourishing and sustaining. So it's about being smart with it. But it's a definite art form, Christine. It's really hard to get it right. It's something I'm navigating all the time. You know, and sometimes it's not until we overdo it that we think, oh, okay, right, need to back off a bit. But just need to learn. Just learn from those experiences.
That's exactly what I think is tricky, is the fact that this is a lifelong practice. I sort of teach that movement is for life. It's not just for a 4-week transformation challenge. It is for the rest of our lives, to keep longevity, to increase muscle mass, bone density, everything like that. And I don't want people to think, oh, if I get it wrong, if I do too much one day, try not to be a perfectionist in getting your exercise level right. We've got enough pressure on us. So you're going to get it wrong sometimes. You're going to try and listen to your body and do the thing your body doesn't need. And that's entirely okay.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a lifelong practice, and it's something that I get wrong. Sometimes I get, you know, I say right in inverted commas. Sometimes I listen to my body and I really tune in. Sometimes I just want to block everything out. And I think for people just to take the pressure off themselves. And the main thing is just, well, in my mind, is just to take that minute to check in.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And if people are thinking, oh, God, how do I do that? Well, sometimes we actually need a little salient practice. I like to rub my hands together to create a sense of warmth. And then I very tenderly place my hands on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lovely sense of the body softens with that feeling of warmth. We can feel the beating of our heart. And with this gesture, we're saying to ourselves that we can be tender with ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and that we can give ourselves just a little moment to extricate ourselves from the busyness, the demands of everyday life, and just check in. Let's just observe, where are we at? Where's my head at? Where's my body at? Where's my heart at?
Mm.
What do I need today? And just allow that to shape our pace. Yeah, there's so much wisdom in a compassionate pace. Yeah, the pace that allows us to keep giving and keep going.
I mean, that's beautiful, Susie. And that's something that it's so simple, but so it just takes you away for 1 minute, just takes you away from everything else. And just you can feel your heartbeat. You can feel, you know, you really start thinking about how your body's feeling and how you're feeling. But I'd like to ask you, what does rest look like for you? Does it look different every single day? Is there certain things that you go to if you're feeling
sure? I would say rest for me, rest is very much seasonal, not in mm-hmm. terms necessarily of the four seasons, but how I take care of myself is very much shaped by where we're at in the bloody school year. If my kids are at school, I have no guilt in protecting fiercely white space
mm-hmm.
in my diary to do what I know I need to do to function. And having had that experience of energetic bankruptcy, I don't ever want to wind up in that state again.
Mm-hmm.
So I very fiercely protect that time for myself. Now, and I think of it, what is the scaffolding that I need in my day to be able to do what's required of me? That is, for me, it's going for a walk or going for a run, being in
mm-hmm.
nature.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going for a walk, I call my mum in Sydney. We have Aww. A little chatter. So Aww. There's a sense of social connection. I love going out into the local community and just the little nods that you get. You know, there's an old man on a park bench. He sits outside the same place. Every time I walk past, we have a cheery greeting, and it just fills me.
Connection.
Up. Yeah. Connection, exactly. So there's that. If I've done a run, I will do a magnesium bath afterward,
Ooh.
A 20-minute magnesium bath. Now, I love that magnesium because to get the therapeutic benefit, you've got to lie in it for 20 minutes. So it makes me be still. I pair those two things together, run, magnesium bath. So I'm getting the muscle building, but I'm also getting the anti-inflammatory properties of stillness in the magnesium. There is yoga in every day. Now, I'm going to be honest and say that I'm really honest, it rarely involves me rolling out my mat and being on it for an hour, but there is yoga every day. Mm-hmm. Now, that might be I do my foot mobilizations when my son is in the bath. I've got to be present. We're having our little catch up about his day, but I'm doing my foot yoga. I do my face yoga when I'm taking my makeup off and massaging my face cream in. Mm-hmm. When I can, I love a yoga nidra. A yoga nidra.
Yeah.
Quite often fall asleep in a yoga nidra, but I'm all right with that because I feel like that's, I need the top up. It's fine. Yeah. Legs up the wall.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah. But I have a little host of what I call micro practices that I will do throughout the course of my day that are all around relieving tension where it shows up, whether it's the jaw, the shoulders, the neck, creaky, crunchy neck.
Yes.
And
tech neck,
exactly. Yeah. But there are different things in every day. And obviously in the school holidays, it looks very different. I will still do, I quite often do a yoga nidra, but I will bear in mind that someone will probably be playing Lego next to me on the floor or PS4 and whatever. But I think it's about being resourceful. Yeah. Mm. I still have a strong commitment to taking care of my energy bank, but it looks really different depending on how much time and space I have available to me.
And it's about really valuing yourself enough and valuing your, you know, just prioritizing it and allowing yourself to prioritize it, you know, and because it's, even though it might not, you know, the selfless mother thing really interested me because you're not actually being selfless. If I'm the martyr mum, which I've been for many years and I'm now working on, you end up, as you say, being the shitty wife, the shouty mum. You are not serving anybody. You're not serving yourself. You're not serving your kids. You're not serving your partner.
Exactly.
You know, and that's
what we're trying to achieve by being selfless. So, you know, whether it's, this is not just in motherhood, this is just in life in general, in relationships, what is it that you want to bring?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your work life, what is it that, how do you want to show up? Now, for most of us, you know, we want to be present. We want to be available. We'd love to be patient. We want to be kind, attentive, all of this stuff. It's almost like when you understand that if you attempt to put everybody's needs first, if you are consistently denying your own human needs or your right to emotional expression, selflessness is like the barrier to us being all of those things, because selflessness is a surefire path to resentment, depletion, an inability to show up as we aspire to. So fuck selfishness. Let's get clear on what matters to us and then think about what nourishment do you need to be able to be patient, to remain calm, to be available, to be loving, compassionate. Yeah?
It is that oxygen mask. It is. It is that I keep coming back to. Put your own on and then you can put everybody else's on.
Yes.
No,
and I think that, you know what, that really works in crisis situations, but people are saying, yeah, but I'm not in a crisis situation, so I've got to look after everyone else first. Do you know what? It doesn't necessarily have to be me first, but if it's not you at all, everyone's fucked.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't have to be you first.
No.
It's me as well. We've all got to get a look in. Yeah? Everybody's needs matter. That's the fundamental understanding that we've got to come to.
Right, Susie, before I let you go, I've got a question. So kids are screaming, having a massive tantrum. I've got two teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, they're yelling at me. They're hating life. They don't want to be part of this family anymore, blah, blah, blah. Okay. How, when I've had a really stressful day and I'm kind of tired, how do I get my, because I can lose it. I can totally lose my shit. I now accept that I am human and I do lose my shit, but I'm trying not to. So my kids could be like that 4 or 5 times a day. So I'm
trying. We need a pressure release valve. It's there's got to be somewhere for it to go.
Exactly. In the moment, I'm thinking, have you got anything?
Slightly.
Would it be hand on the heart? Would it be that second of maybe going away into another room just for a second?
We need at least 3 different things to choose between.
Yes.
Yeah, because nothing's going to resonate for everybody, but even our own preferences will change over time. So I would say we need about 5 things to choose between, but let's at least do 3. Okay, so the first thing that I would do, I'd reboot myself by taking the back of my hand to my forehead.
Okay.
And applying firm pressure. Now, notice how lovely that feels. It soothes the eye.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah. it releases pressure in the skull.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
It slows our rate of breathing down. It releases the jaw. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So reboot yourself by taking the back of your hand to your forehead. Do a little Homer Simpson dolt. Yeah. Okay. So that's number one. Now, if my kids are really kicking off, I surprise them, not by yelling like I want to. I get down on the floor and do a child's pose for the same earthing the brow effect. And when I get down on the floor and do a child's pose, my kids are like, what the hell is going on? What's mom doing? And
disarming. It's quite, I like it.
I'm taking a moment to reboot myself because otherwise I'm going to say something that I regret and it's a little circuit breaker and maybe we all have a little laugh and maybe they can get down on the floor and do a child's pose too.
I love that so much.
But it's using the same mechanism of that acupressure point in the forehead. So that's number one. Number two, do a Taylor Swift, shake it out.
Shake it off.
Shake it off. Mm-hmm. And like a really cathartic flick. You're not just, it's not, this is not a shimmy shake. This is a, I am releasing whatever it is that I no longer need. It can leave the building. Yeah.
I love that. Or
if we need something that's more about, okay, I'm feeling a real sense of overload, take yourself over to a window and look out at the moving cloudscape or the canopy of moving trees in the distance and just do a bit of green gazing, allow a sense of panoramic gaze to come back in.
Peripheral vision.
Exactly. Just, rather than this myopic, I must fix this razor vision. You know, that it's almost like we're in threat detection mode there, aren't
we? Exactly.
So allow this soft gaze. Yeah. And so how many have we done there? We've done three.
I think that's four.
Okay, one more. I love this one. Can we tenderly cradle, cup our chin in our hands?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when I do this, I literally can't trash talk myself.
No.
Just naturally taps me into a sense of being tender, coaxing in a dialogue. Oh, my God, this is so full on. It's tough because it's tough, and anyone else who are experiencing this right now would be struggling. Oh, my God. I can give myself a little breather. Okay. And then I can re-enter. I'm going to choose what I do next. I'm going to get deliberate here. Yeah.
I mean, that was fantastic. And I want to let anybody know who's listening. If you want a bit more of that, first of all, check out Susie on Instagram. I'll put all the details in the show notes, but I want to talk about your ninth book?
It's my ninth project, but my eighth book. So I had my lovely little deck of cards, my little box of self-care. That's number eight. But, yeah, Rest Reset, number nine, which is amazing.
Wow.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about the book for those who are interested and what they've heard so far and are going to rush out and buy it.
Okay. So what we talked about already today is redefining rest as a means to resetting. Now, in the book, there's also a framework called the Eight Pillars of Rest. Now, that's available as a free download. Via the link in my bio. So if you want to see what that framework is all about, now the point of that is that we understand that the rest we need is determined by how we've used our minds and our body and the environment that we've been in.
Mm-hmm.
The framework will help you identify the rest that you need in the moment, okay? Whether it's movement, whether it's stillness, whether that's it's solitude correct. Or whether it's companionship, yeah? But the bulk of the book is taking people through 25 different practical toolkits that help people rest in the moment. There might be, you know, you're identifying that you've got your hands full and you don't have time to stop, but you'd like some restorative practices. There are five in there. Or maybe how do you rest when you're jittery and you can't relax? Well, there's that toolkit. So it's very practical, it's going to make a tangible difference. There'll be a toolkit that resonates for everyone there.
That's fantastic. And I will put all of that in the show notes. That's honestly, rush out and buy it, everybody. Susie, where do you hang out? Where can we find you?
Come and hang out with me on Instagram. That's where I put all my little notes to self. And there are some really beautiful conversations happening in the comments. All of the tips and tools that are sustaining me, I share there.
Mm-hmm.
So come and hang out with me there.
And there's a lovely Yeah, so you'll get a really good sense of what Susie offers from her Instagram. And also, I think you've got that little short yoga practice that helped me so much. I'm not sure if it's on your Instagram, but again, I'll put the details of that. It's a really short, I think it was a 3-minute reset.
All sorts of movement inspiration there. Also, you know, just the kind of practices that we did today, using touch and using mantra, breathing practices, stretches, face yoga. It's all there.
And you do a live. Do you do a live every Monday?
I have my live Monday micro moment session. Mm-hmm. Each week we look at a different theme. And if there's something that has piqued people's curiosity from today, drop me a line. I'll make that the topic of a future live Monday 9 a.m. UK time.
Exciting. Susie, thank you so much. That has been amazing. I feel quite selfish talking about selfish, because that's just been a session for me, really.
It's great to get it on the radar. I benefit too, because I'm reaffirming this commitment. And I've had some lovely, you know, feels good to just a little cup of the chance. It's all
can't
it takes.
Get enough.
Micro moment of nourishment. There it is.
But thank you very much for joining me, Susie. And I shall check you out on Instagram. Bye, Susie.
Bye. Take care.